We're approaching the final third portion of Ramadan. Tomorrow will be the commencement of the last Ashara. The Mu'takifin will gather in the Masajid here and around the world. We invite you also to participate. Let us seize the moments, the final moments of Ramadan. Let this be a season of forgiveness for us. Let us, through our supplications, invocations, and dua, open the doors of the heavens and pull down Allah's mercy and nusra for the ummah with our tears, with our sincere calls. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins and fulfill our needs and conceal our faults in the dunya and in the akhirah. Today you heard the concluding part of Surah An-Kabut. The surah is named after an example which is mentioned within it. An-Kabut is a spider. And even before we proceed, subhanallah, how can a Muslim ever be arrogant in today's recitation also of Surah Luqman? Through the advices of Luqman alayhi salam, we're told not to be arrogant, not to brag and boast, not to prance about and strut. How can you be arrogant if you believe in the Quran, a book in which Allah reveals surahs, amongst them Suratul Naml, the ant, Suratul Nahl, the honey bee, Suratul Ankabut, the spider, and there are other surahs named after various creations, Suratul Fil, the elephant, Suratul An'am, livestock, Suratul Baqarah, the heifer, the cow. All of these surahs are named after animals. This is the qudra, this is the subhanallah, this is the manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and mercy towards all of His creation. So as a Muslim, when you read the Quran and you realize that entire sections are named after these creatures, how can you then be arrogant and boastful when Allah is presenting these creatures as examples and giving us hidayah through them? So, Ankabut, the spider, Allah Ta'ala is rejecting shirk and belief in false deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives us this similitude, the likeness of those who take on other gods is like that of the Ankabut, the spider. Ittakhadat bayta, it made itself, it built itself a house. Wa inna awhana al-buyuti la baytul ankabut. And Allah says, who knows everything, the frail, the most frail and weak of houses is the house of the ankabut. The ulama say that usually a house is a roof over your head. It's a type of refuge. It will protect you from the worst of the weather and from enemies. None of this is achieved with a spider's web. So those who put their reliance on false beliefs, false deities, idols, have put their reliance on something which is frail, and they are caught up in the web of illusion and delusion. And it will not protect them in the dunya, and it will not protect them in the akhirah. False gods are neither nafi' nor dar. They neither benefit nor cause any harm. There is absolutely no room for any superstition in our deen. So we heard the concluding part of Suratul Ankabut, and we also heard the entire recitation of Suratul Rum. And this surah, amongst others, is a mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and a mu'jiza of the Qur'an. What is a mu'jiza? The word mu'jiza comes from the word i'jaz, and something which makes you ajiz and creates ijz in you. Ajz is i'jaz. In other words, you fail before it. You have no response to it but to accept that it's true. And the Quran is mu'jiz. All are silent before the Quran. Those who criticize it don't have any sound criticisms or objections. So how is this surah particularly standing out in this regard? Well, it opens with a prophecy. Ghulibatir Rum, the Byzantines, the Roman Empire, they will fall. وَمِن بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ, they will fall to the Persians. The Persians and the Romans, they would be constantly in battle in those days when the Quran was being revealed. And this surah is Makki. And so what will happen is they will fall. And then after their decline, وَمِن بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ, they will again become dominant over the Persians, the Persian Empire. فِي بِضْعِ سِنِينَ, in a number of years. And Allah Ta'ala says, يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, assists whom He wills. Now, this is exactly what happened. And وَيَوْمَئِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءَ, the believers, Allah says, will be pleased that day. You see, the mushrikeen would taunt the believers that those who believe in prophets have become dominated over, they have lost the battle against the Persians who don't believe in previous prophets and revelation. So like, look there, that's you. They are similar to you. And so at this level, it was a taunt which the Muslims had to listen to. But then over time, they endured, and Allah showed the mushrikeen that actually Allah Azza wa Jal gives mulk and kingdom and power to whom He wills, and it's not a proof of being right or wrong. And look now, the Byzantines are dominant again. And in time, this Rasul amongst you will become dominant. And that's what happened. The very empires that are being mentioned here, the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, the Byzantines and the Persians, both empires fell. And their treasures, the treasure of the Persian Empire, was being distributed in the courtyard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid by the very same dervishes, the dervish, the sahaba, who were clad in simple garments with patched clothing, the likes of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, the Ghazwa of Qadisiyah, and the subsequent Ghazawat. So, Ghulibatir Rum, Suratul Rum. And then this is followed by Surah Luqman. And Surah Luqman is named after Sayyiduna Luqman. Luqman alayhi salam, he's not a prophet according to the majority and jamhur of the mufassirun, but he was given special wisdom by Allah, and this is mentioned in the Quran here. Some of the mufassirun have said that he was from Sudan. And وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ, Allah Ta'ala says, and there's about a dozen advices in this section after which the surah is named. Indeed, we gave Luqman wisdom. And Allah Ta'ala begins with the mention of this wisdom. Anishkur lillah. Be grateful to Allah. Shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this single section would need a few hours of discussion at least. And this is not an exaggeration. But let me just touch upon some aspects. See, the mu'min stays between two states, sabr and shukr. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ إِنْ أَصَابَتُ صَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَّهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَّهُ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Amazing is the state of the mu'min. All of his affair is good for him. If happiness, ease reaches him, then he's grateful and shakir. And this is turned into goodness for him. And if hardship reaches him, and calamity, and difficulty, and illness, and poverty, hardship, darra, then he does sabr, and this is good for him. So he's always in a win-win situation. He never loses out. However, although the mu'min state is between sabr and shukr, which is greater of the two? The ulama say that shukr is the greater one. Sabr is when you can accept that this is what's happening, and I'm not going to complain, and I'm not going to leave my iman and turn away from Allah. I'm going to accept Allah's taqdeer and endure and hold on to the faith. So this is sabr. Shukr is even better. Shukr is when you are grateful, and what happens is everything that happens to a mu'min is khair. And when Allah gives us a glimpse of that reality and we gain that ma'rifah, then we don't see hardship as a problem. We don't see it, we don't ask for it. We're human beings and we are mortal beings and we are da'if and we ask for afiyah, and that's what we've been instructed to do. But if it comes, we see khair in the shar as well. We see, shall we say, we see khair in the hardship as well. And Allah opens aspects of this up. So for example, let me give you an example. A person has a fever. The Quran says, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ in Surah Maryam, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. Everyone has to enter Jahannam. This is a promise and an oath by Allah, which is going to happen. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Then the pious will be rescued. وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. And then face forward, the ظَالِمِينَ, the oppressors, will remain therein. This is a very frightening verse of the Quran, by the way. And there's a lot of tafsirs of this. What does this mean? Why would everybody go to Jahannam? One meaning is that everybody will go to the edge of Jahannam and then some will come back. One meaning is that everyone have to go over Jahannam on the jasr, the sirat. One meaning is that everybody will have to actually enter Jahannam. Now, why would a mu'min enter Jahannam? Why would a pious people person enter Jahannam? Subhanallah, some of the mufassirun have said that the entrance will be like a visit. You know, sometimes what happens? People of senior members of society, people of in positions in authority, let's say the local mayor, the local Lord Provost, as they say here, is visiting the jail. So for him, it's not a jail. He has his guards, the doors are open for him. He walks in, looks around at the conditions, and in his heart thinks that I'm in a better position than this. And he inspects the jail and comes back out. No harm done to him. It doesn't affect his dignity. Yes? So when the mu'min goes into Jahannam, the fire will not burn him. That's one tafsir. And he will see the suffering in Jahannam and it will increase his shukr. But I want to mention another qawl here. In one hadith, we learn that humma. What is humma? Anybody tell me? This Arabic word. What does it mean? It means a fever. Have you ever had a fever? Yes? A fever is an illness which affects you from head to toe. Does it not? You touch the feet, they're hot. You touch the forehead, it's hot. Touch the hands, it's... Yes, and sometimes in a severe fever, the whole body shivers. And there's pain everywhere as well. Yes? So according to one hadith, the fever is the mu'min's share of Jahannam. So if you see this, I'm giving you an example. This is why the pious people, the ulama, when they are in a state of fever, they feel happy. Insha'Allah, my sins are being shed, and inshallah, I will not have to go into Jahannam. So you can see this. And of course, what is happening on a physical level? When you're in a feverish state, your body, your immune system is in overdrive and it's fighting disease. And you need that state to survive certain conditions. So there's always khair in this. So when you begin to see this khair everywhere, then you stop complaining and you begin to observe shukr, and shukr becomes your dominant state. Shukr is superior to sabr. The first advice of the hikmah that Allah gave to Luqman was anishkur lillah. And then there's wa idh qala Luqman libnihi wa huwa ya'idhu. Luqman gives advice to his son and he's giving and he says to him, ya bunayya. And there's a moral here for all dads that we should compassionately sit down with our sons and children, give them advice. And the first advice, la tushrik billah. Don't commit shirk with Allah ever at any cost. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Shirk is a major sin. And then Allah Ta'ala talks about the rights of parents. وَصَيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا. And then there's a list of other advices here. If I went through them now, it would take rather a long time. So I'm going to invite you to look into Surah Al-Luqman and just read through them. Dozen advices. Yes, inshallah? Yes. Commitment, inshallah. And then this surah is followed by Surah Sajda. And by the way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to recite Surah Sajda and Surah Mulk before going to sleep every night. Are we going to do that tonight, inshallah? Yes? And then we listen to Surah Al-Ahzab, part of it. This is another major surah of the Quran with huge implications, huge message. It's about the plural of Hizb is Ahzab. These are the various groups. This is referring to the occasion of the Ghazwa of Khandaq and how Allah assisted the mu'mineen when Medina Munawwara was under siege. And the enemy was not allowed to, was not able to get in, and the wind and the angels came and blew, the wind blew out their campfires and blew down their tents and their morale, they shivered in the cold and eventually withdrew from Medina. And this was their third major expedition, and after this the Fath of Makkah took place soon afterwards. So this surah mentions this amongst other things, and I can't help and can't resist mentioning one particular verse which was mentioned at the beginning of this surah. And Nabiyyu, if only Allah would grant us the ability to understand this fully. And Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusim. The Prophet is closer to the believers than they are to themselves. Waw, lam, ya. These are the huruf, the root letters of this word awla. And one of the tafsirs is muhabba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam loves us more than we can ever love ourselves. So we should take his advice and take it seriously. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem.